And now, Jim Dearman.
Have you ever thought about what your dying words will be? You know, we attach more or less significance to the dying words of our loved ones and friends. Those are sacred, sweet words. Some of the choice bits of literature are the dying words of famous men and women. But of how much greater importance are the dying words of our Lord Jesus Christ? And it is to those precious words that we give our attention in our study today. Stay with us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The dying words of Jesus. What depth of love and pathos is here reached in these words? The angry mob is before him. God's only begotten Son has been nailed to the tree of the cross, but he is still pleading for sinning, rebellious men. He wants these poor, deluded souls to have another chance at being saved. They do not know what they are doing. Peter said the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And this prayer of Jesus was answered on the birthday of the church. The man with the keys of the kingdom of heaven preached to these betrayers and murderers of the Son of God on the day of Pentecost. He said unto them, Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Acts 2:36. What a stinging, biting accusation. And what effect? Listen. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:38. Jesus died, praying for his enemies. It is possible for man to die in this way. The first Christian martyr died in this way, Stephen. The Bible says, And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Paul had this same spirit. He said, At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. 2 Timothy 4:16. And we must have the same spirit. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. The dying thief said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And how did Jesus answer? Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. When the spirit leaves the body, it goes into the unseen world. The spirit of Jesus went to the unseen world, but it was not left there. Peter said, He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, neither his flesh did see corruption. Acts 2:31, and he was quoting from David. And in his dying moments, Jesus did not forget his mother. He made provision for her. He said to her, Woman, behold thy son, John 19:26. He was turning her over to the tender care of the disciple whom he loved. And he said to this disciple, Behold thy mother. What did John do? And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. What an example. What an example of providing a home. Jesus took care of his mother. Ephesians 6:2 tells us, Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. And when Jesus was crucified, there was darkness from noon until 3 o'clock. Matthew 27:45 records, Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And out of this midnight darkness in the middle of the day, the suffering, bleeding, dying Lamb of God called out, My God, My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 27:46. The sun even refused to shine when God's Son was dying. And then the recorded words of Jesus in John 19:28, I thirst. I thirst. How sad. How human. How divine. And how was this dying request answered? The scripture says, "Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth." Back in Psalm 69, verse 21, we read this sad prophecy. "They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." The dying words of Jesus, John 19:30. "It is finished. It is finished." What a glorious consummation. What was finished? Many things were then finished. The old law of Moses was nailed to the cross. Colossians 2:14, "blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." Yes, we live now under the New Testament, the new covenant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The New Testament was established by Jesus Christ. He shed his blood to establish the new covenant. So many today confuse the old with the new. Of course, the old is valuable to us, certainly. But the law of Moses has been done away, fulfilled in Jesus Christ, taken out of the way, nailed to the cross. And Jesus has left us his last will and testament, the New Testament that we must live by and obey in order to be saved. There were other things finished. The sufferings of Christ were finished. His work on earth was ending. And more of the dying words of Jesus. Luke 23:46, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." This was the last thing the blessed Jesus Christ said. He then gave up the spirit. And may we so live that when we come to the end of the way, we can say, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." The dying words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are significant indeed. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," as he prayed for his enemies. The statement then to the thief on the cross, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The statements made to his mother and to John, the beloved disciple. The statement, "I thirst." The statement, "It is finished." And finally, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." "I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransomed be and quickened from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory-circled throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? And I have brought to thee, down from my home above, salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me?" What can we say to those words of that great hymn? What can we say to Jesus, who has given all to us? Can we not at least obey what he has commanded in his word? That we believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That we repent of our sins, turn our back upon this world, and turn to him in repentance. Confess him as the Christ, and then be buried with him in baptism as he has commanded for the forgiveness of our sins. That we might rise to walk in newness of life from that watery grave of baptism. To be added to the church, his body, and to work and worship faithfully therein, even unto death, to give all to him who has given all to us. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me?